Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about bodies for me,
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
Fuck.
Ma'am enters. You don't have to read that part.
Yeah. And...
Lucy Thomas.
And...
Oh, Brendan Levi.
Good start, guys.
Yeah.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 1980 comedy, Oh Heavenly Dog, starring Chevy Chase, Jane Seymour, and Omar Sharif, where a private detective is murdered and then is reincarnated as a dog in order to solve his own murder. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So... on to Oh Heavenly Dog. This is usually the part where I ask a question about the film in order to get the conversation started, but not today. Today, all I can do is start with an apology. This is the biggest piece of shit that we have ever watched for this show, and I am truly sorry to have put you through this. Can you guys ever forgive me?
I think we've probably watched worse than this.
All I can say, Paul, is goodbye. Doesn't mean it has to be the end. Fading dreams grow cold as ice.
So,
haven't you heard that song enough? It was on in the film like 10 times.
So I looked up some trivia because Paul said he didn't have much time. So I looked some up. Chevy Chase said this is, he considers this his worst film and he's never seen it.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's been in some pieces of shit. So
see, I feel like filming it, you wouldn't have had a real... you wouldn't really have felt how bad the film is because a lot of it is about the pacing and how laborious it is to watch it. And I've had a pretty tough week and like work and everything. And I'm pretty emotionally, physically spent. There were moments in this film that I started crying because I was so bored.
I don't know if I've ever cried out of boredom before.
This film is the first time that it's happened to me. I hate this film so much.
Yeah, look, it wasn't great. And I think, like, it is a sin to make a whodunit and for it to be super boring. It's like, isn't it supposed to be exciting? Like, figuring out who did it.
Oh, you go.
I was just going to say, I had a similar experience with... the movie Clicked with, what's his name? Why can't I know it? Adam Sandler.
Click.
Like, when I first asked Katrina out, my now wife, like, she turned me down, and I remember I was, like, devastated, and then I'm watching Click of all films, and I'm, like, crying from the emotional cues.
You're like, damn you, Adam Sandler.
But I get it with, like, Click, it was made to make you cry, and I cried in Click, You know,
am I the only one out of us three that didn't cry and click?
But this film was not made to make you cry. This film was supposed to make you laugh and be interested in a whodunit. And what the fuck was going on in this film? Like, I know now that I've watched it, I know who the killer was, but I zoned out so many times that I could not tell you why the fuck he killed the person and why she, like, her relation to anybody else in this film.
I could not tell you anything. He was having an affair and it was a political, he was political. And so it was a scandal. So they had to kill her to, like, so she couldn't tell. Is that correct?
How often were you on your phone?
Do you know, I actually had to, like, pretty much lock it in a box, be like, concentrate, Lucy, concentrate.
Yeah.
I fell asleep, so I heard that song like 6 times rather than the 4 times that it was on there.
I was falling asleep and then I, like, pumped up the air conditioning in my house, had a coffee, had an ice cream, like anything I could do to keep me awake.
Yep. Was the song that you were singing before, was that the Elton John one?
And I got a feeling we will meet again.
Okay, that doesn't sound so bad. Is that the Elton John?
Return to paradise. Sorry, I'm gonna overlay the song to make it sound better.
Something I will say about this movie is it opened with that Paul McCartney song. Maybe it's a Wings song. And I was
Wings,
here.
Yeah.
I was here for it.
I actually should say that.
The bass line at the start was, I was like, is this like some Blade Runner shit? This is like, what is this bass line? And then, yeah, it was Wings, classic, love it. You know, that
the, by far the best thing about this whole film was that Wings song. Yes. I added it to my playlist. So, I like the song.
I've been listening to it as well. Yeah. And do you think, like, all the money got channeled into, like, giving Elton John and, like, Paul McCartney money to use their songs and they just didn't, like, bother with story or anything else?
As someone who also did very little research, but have a little tidbit, I found out that the director of this film is also the director of all the Benji series. Like, this director pretty much is exclusively dog films.
Like a dog movie, yeah, guy.
Yeah, his story is, like, very, like, grassroots. You know, everyone was turning him down. He had this Benji film, and so he, like, got it funded himself and, yeah, distributed it. And it became, like, 3 of the best movies of all time. And this was, like, the first film
that wasn't,
yeah, that he didn't pay for. So it was, like, a real, like, lucky shot for him.
I'm pretty sure until recently, the Benji movies were the highest grossing independently funded movies ever made.
How about,
like,
that?
He was like a powerhouse producer, and he just did it all in his own, like, everything he just sourced himself. He was like the original Blair Witch Project was this guy.
So, Paul, are you, like, on strike from doing the plot?
Yeah. The plot is the guy.
I was really looking forward to Paul laying it out. So
yeah,
I
needed
a
summary, yeah.
No, we could do it. We could do the 30-second plot
okay,
summary.
Because then after that, we need to talk about the dog.
Okay.
Ready? Here we go.
Chevy Chase is a private detective. He's asked to protect this woman. He goes over to her house and then he gets stabbed and she's dead as well. Then he goes to heaven. They tell him he has to come back, but he can only come back as a dog because the woman tries to fuck him in heaven. And then when he becomes a dog, he sexually assaults Jane Seymour and then solves the murder because he finds a necklace in an envelope. The end.
Oh, that's great. 3 and 30. Wow. So was he a private detective?
I think it said it on the door. I think it said it on the door.
Yeah, so why did he have to protect this woman? Like, what was his...
Well, that's what he was saying. Like, when Omar Sharif came to him, yeah, he's like, we need you. And he's like, I'm a private detective, not a security guard. And he's like, here's a lot of money. Protect her. Yeah. I don't understand why that all happened, though.
Yeah.
Like, did they ever explain why Omar Sharif chose him to protect him? Why did he want someone to come protect him?
No.
Like, I don't understand.
No.
Like, if he was going to kill her, why would he want someone else around?
I don't get it.
Yeah, especially because he doesn't make Chevy Chase the patsy for the crime. He's trying to pin it on someone else.
Yeah, that is hugely puzzling. What actually? That's very odd.
Do you think there was like explanations, but we all were just so zoned out?
I have so many, like all my notes, which aren't heaps because I wasn't paying that much attention.
All but it was four just things that I wrote down.
Constantly questions of like, you know, so, like, wait. So for people at home, the premise of this swap is our classic. Heaven is a bureaucracy and they go to heaven and there's a mix-up or something like that. Wait.
But I didn't get the mix-up. Like, was there a mix-up?
No, sorry, so he wanted to advance.
It said to advance to either, like, heaven or hell, you need to solve your own murder. But it's like, but not everyone gets murdered, so what?
Well, and yeah, it was like, why does he have to solve his own murder? Like,
yeah, we'll give you a host body so you can go down on Earth and fulfill your final assignment. And so they gave him this, the mix-up of the dog's body.
I think it was like, they were like, we've got a body for you. It's going to take about 7 weeks. And he's like, what? No, I got to do that now. And so he skipped the queue.
Yeah.
But was assigned a dog because that's all they had kind of thing. I think.
Paul is either frozen or is looking so confused. And he's the one who he just finished watching this movie. He is the freshest.
This is neither here nor there because the biggest question is, why does he have to solve his own murder? Like, they know everything. Like, there's the Higgins, the god of this universe. Like, he knows who's killed him. Like also the woman who died with him, she probably saw the person who murdered herself. Like, why can't she just be like, hey, like, and what are they doing with that information? It's just
it's
really
like giving him an activity for no fucking reason. Like, it's just like keeping a kid busy until like nighttime or something. Yeah.
The other thing is like your time's up. It is like, why is his time up? Like, the dog's not dead. Like, and you can turn at will into a human being and into a dog. So why not just let him do it in a human body? It'd be so much more effective.
Nothing about this was thought out. It's so, but like every fucking scene just went for so long. And there were scenes where nothing happened. There were scenes where dogs were just walking around rooms where nothing was happening.
That, all right, like, that's
okay,
the
only thing though. Okay, though. The dog. Okay. What did I'm you not read, done. Brendan? Yeah. What did you read? You go first.
Oh, no. Like, there was enough outtakes and extra footage that they made a 30-minute film to go along with this, like called Benji at Work or something like that. So they had such aimless shit that they could just...
That I would watch because that dog deserves an Academy Award.
Oh, that poor dog. He gets constantly abused in this film.
Yeah, I know. And that dog looked sad.
Yeah.
Like, it scared me.
That was like the distressing. I was distressed in those scenes.
Yeah, that, like,
but
those,
the dog
that
was
dog,
so
like,
cute and beautiful and amazing. Like, put a pencil in its mouth and dial a telephone from the 80s. And, like, he wasn't a puppet. That dog did that.
Yeah, the dog is very cute, but it did feel like the dog was being mistreated.
It did look
like that
sad.
Dog's tail. The tail was between its legs. It was shaking. We saw it literally get thrown down a flight of stairs.
Okay,
we saw it getting like
when its arm is being
gripped
held
by its arm,
and you can hear like, the yelping and stuff. Oh,
okay. So here's another thing I read. Apparently, because he was so intense, like the way that he acted. Did you read this, Brendan? Look at us trying to do our homework. Okay, so Omar Sharif, so intense. That's his name, yes?
Yes, yeah.
So intense actor, like, whatever. The dog was really scared of him. Like, it would bark at him all the time and it didn't want to cooperate. And that a lot of the times, like, sometimes they had to, like, get a body double when they could. And so the dog could do its scenes without him in the room because it was so afraid of him.
He's like another Jared Leto. Like, I had to abuse the dog. It's a part of my character.
What's that? What's Jared Leto done? Oh, God.
He's just known for, like, trying to be a method actor.
Yeah, when he was
it's
on
like,
the Suicide Squad.
You're not Daniel Day-Lewis. Just sit down.
Yeah, when he was Joker in the Suicide Squad, he would, like, mail Margot Robbie, like, used condoms and stuff just to freak her out. And
what a loser. What a fucking loser. Yeah. Okay, and so here's another thing I found out. This is like an uncredited remake, and I love if somebody just put this on the IMDb page and it's not real. So, of a movie called You Never Can Tell. Is this on the list, Paul?
No.
Where, in which, a murdered dog returns to Earth as a human to find out.
That sounds way better.
But like, when is a dog murdered? Like, what?
Why was a dog murdered? Yeah.
But like, is that when a dog gets put down? Like, is that a murder?
Or you could stab a dog.
Is it real? Is it real, Paul?
I've never heard of this film.
But wait,
is it a real movie though? You Never Can Tell? It's from the '50s, apparently.
But could you imagine if that was the movie? Like, then we have like a human who can interact with people rather than like a dog just blankly staring while Chevy Chase puts some like vanilla quip over the top of it. Like, it would have been so much more interesting to see a man act like a dog trying to solve a murder.
Maybe that was the original idea, and Chevy was like, I fucking hate this concept. I don't want to do this. You got to switch the parts, man. Bring a dog in, and I'll just do the voiceover because I'm not doing it.
The voiceover was so awful, though.
Have you found, though, I feel like these old movies that we've been watching that have the voiceover, it's like the rules were different. It's like, yeah, it can be really boring and slow. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Like,
because we've got a dog dialing a fucking phone. Look over here. Like, you don't need.
Yeah. Was this a kid's film? Because there was some, like, inappropriate-ass shit in this film.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The tone of this film. I'm not sure who the audience was. Because, yeah, like you said, we've got the dog, like, trying to molest the owner, and then also people being literally stabbed. And
so, You Never Can Tell is a real movie. Ex-army dog named King inherits a fortune from his eccentric millionaire owner. Should King die, the fortune
add this
will pass
one to
the land.
Yeah, this sounds great.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so it's real.
I'm adding it.
From the 50s.
We'll do that one.
Yeah.
Because we've done a lot of dog swaps, but we haven't done reverse swaps.
Yeah, like I just felt so sad for this little doggy.
So another thing is the guy, the Chevy Chase and the other woman were murdered, and was it a day later he's returning, or was it a couple of days later?
I don't know.
Regardless, why is the murderer still in the house, like hanging about? Like, you murder someone, you leave. Like, I just
but
didn't
do you
know why
know
he was
that
there.
People that murder, watching the dog. People that murder for like enjoyment often revisit the scene of the crime. It like excites them.
But then when he does return to the scene of his crime, he finds the dog there investigating the crime scene. But like, if you walk in and there's a dog investigating a crime scene, you would be like, you'd go up to, I feel like you wouldn't just peek through the door. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on? And go up to the dog.
Yeah.
Like, it was just very bizarre.
And you want to know what
else was he hiding from the dog?
Do you want to know what else was bizarre in this movie? It had a fucking lightsaber in it.
Yeah. They had a lightsaber joke for some reason. Yeah.
It's because
of all the movies.
I'm sure Joe Camp, the director, was like, okay, 20th Century Fox owns, is producing my film. What properties do they own that I can exploit? Oh, Star Wars, that came out a few years ago. Let's do a lightsaber joke.
Yeah, really weird.
Look, that being said, last year, we had the film Free Guy, which did the exact same thing. For no reason at all, Disney were like, oh, we own Star Wars, let's have him just pull out a lightsaber for no reason.
But, like, I feel like it made a bit more sense than this. Like, what did the guy use it for in heaven? What did he use it for?
To point at a screen. Yeah.
And, like, I'd forgive it if it was funny, but, you know.
So, the beginning of this film is, like, 15 minutes of
credits?
Chevy Chase wandering around in the rain trying to get a taxi and getting rejected. Like, I was like, why is this happening? And then eventually, after the 15 minutes, he just happens to walk past his friend who then was like, get in my car. And it's like, why did we have to go through that whole 15 minutes of him not finding a taxi? Like, what
do you think they were just trying to really tell you that it wasn't in America?
I don't know. But then, So then the friend is this like gay stereotype guy who's cracking on to Chevy Chase and
not just cracking on to him, literally grabs his dick.
And then that guy dies?
Yeah, when did he die? Because then all of a sudden he's a cat and he's like, yeah, I'm dead now too.
Now I know you guys weren't paying attention because he clearly stated that after he dropped him off, he went down a one-way street and got hit by a truck. So
you just gotta pay attention to the nuances of this film. I'm just saying, like, why did he have to die? Like, that just seems like such an unnecessary thing. Yeah,
that's gay. That cat character was completely unnecessary. Like, yeah, because
I thought they were going to team up and like solve the crime together. It's like somebody that you know is also in this animal world. Why wouldn't you hang out with them again?
But then him as a cat still tries to fuck him as a dog. Yeah, and then there's another scene where I think they implied that they did fuck.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, I didn't realize it was you. Like, from out the window.
Like, cats and dogs fucking. Like, this is what's in this film.
Up is down, day is one.
And then,
like, and gay interspecies sex. Like, they're hitting everything they could.
Yeah.
Like, the other thing was the killer is, like, chasing the dog down the street, and he comes to an alleyway, and the dog is turned back into Chevy Chase for a moment. And the killer comes around the corner and is like, have you seen a dog? And he gives him some dumb story about him running up a wall. How does the killer not go, wait a second, did I kill you a few days ago?
Yeah.
I hired you, gave you a bunch of money, then killed you, and I don't recognize you 3 days later.
Oh, this movie.
But back to him as a dog trying to have sex with Jane Seymour. Like, first thing, this is very true to our swap films, that the first thing he does is look at his dick as a dog and he's upset with how small it is. But then, like, immediately he's, like, nuzzling his face into her boobs, saying when she's patting him, he says, if this keeps going, I'm going to get into some deep perverted trouble. Oh, and then
the grossest scene of all.
Yeah, when she decides to have a shower and he, like, is perving on her and then jumps into the shower and then it just cuts to the next scene. What happened there?
No, the worst scene was when she actually had a bath with a dog. I was like, that's the most disgusting thing I could think of, is being in a bath water with a dog.
It actually reminded me a lot of the scene in Birth.
Oh, yes. Please, God, no.
Do you think this was more of
a sanitary sort of issue of awkwardness? I was like, ugh.
But she was, like, lifting up her leg and that dog was staring right down her.
Don't go there, Paul.
I feel like, you know, the bit where, like, the dog was nuzzling into Jane Seymour's boobs and, you know, the voiceover is all crude or whatever. I actually think that dog was like, will you protect me, Jane Seymour? Like, am I safe with you? They've been mistreating me.
Are you going to throw me downstairs?
Omar Sharif has been hitting me between takes.
I guess, like, you know, if you were a dog and he did have to act super intensely to him, like, always be staring at him and running after him or whatever, the dog would be like, what the fuck's your problem? I'm just trying to nuzzle into Jane Seymour's boobies over here.
Yeah. Do we think, though, that, like, do you think that dogs should just straight out not be used in movies? Because I know, like, recently there was that Harrison Ford Call of the Wild where they just CGI'd the dog for the whole film and it just looked weird as fuck. Like, surely there's, like, a middle ground that, like, where the dog can be happy and you can film the film still. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that probably in, like, 30 years or whatever, or longer than that, how old is this movie? I think rules and laws have probably changed a lot. Over, like, how long a dog is allowed to work for and what conditions and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I imagine it's probably still not great, but I've been watching Tiger King. I've been watching Tiger King, Don't Kill Me. Or, no, Joe versus Carol. And that there's like not a real cat in that inside, which I imagine was part of the deal for all the people involved. Mm-hmm. Were like, you can't exploit wild animals. And they look super fake and good on them. I think in that instance, that's what you got to do.
As opposed to cat people, which I watched on our tenuous the other day, which had like them interacting with like real leopards.
Yeah, and just film. Like, I don't know, maybe five or six people lost their lives in that. It's not.
Yeah. I don't have either of you guys ever seen the film Raw from the 80s as well?
I've seen elements of it. I haven't seen the whole thing in its entirety.
That film is wild. So you know Tippi Hedren from the Birds?
Yes.
So she's like a animal activist.
Yeah. She had pet cats, didn't she?
Yeah. So they like made this film. Yeah, they made this film to be like, hey, you know, lions and tigers and stuff are beautiful creatures and everyone should like live in harmony with them. And they filmed this film like with hundreds of lions and tigers, but like they kept attacking the cast and crew. And Melanie Griffiths is her daughter and she's in the Melanie film. Griffiths. And her face got attacked by one of the lions doing this film and had to get a facial reconstruction surgery.
Yeah.
And the film, you see the attacks for real.
They keep
it's the most stressful. It's the most stressful film you'll ever watch. It's so amazing. Like, it's a must watch, but it's like, what the fuck?
Some things you should not do.
I didn't know any better. I'd think you were following me.
What? Me? A dog?
Oh, come here.
Following you? sorry, I gotta be running along now. I'll see you later. Hey, let go.
Yeah, this son of a bitch is crazy. He already knows something.
Ooh, let go. You're strangling me. All right, just stay in your ceiling. This could be the end of the line.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
So you heard what we thought of this piece of shit, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
I've done it as a dog before, so I'll do it as Chevy Chase.
Let's do it really long and drawn out and bored and, like, hating it.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding. Everyone's beautiful in their own way.
Everyone's beautiful in their own way.
that was pretty good, right, Brendan. So,
yeah, I got Chevy Chase out of that.
Yeah.
So let's start with the main man himself. Chevy Chase as Browning. Hot or not? Lucy, I feel like you're going to have opinions on this.
I'm really scared of Chevy Chase.
Scared?
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, the rumor is right that he's a complete asshole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just frightens me. I just feel like he'd be not super fun when they call cut or even during. So, I don't know. I feel like he is attractive here anyway. but... Yeah, don't love him. And I was like we were never a Chevy family in my family.
Yeah.
No National Lampoon.
That was not us.
I am trying to think of like what is his like I know National Lampoon and Fletch were big things.
And
is
like
there anything it's else Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. But I feel like he was just doing a lot of cocaine and like being not present to female cast members.
Yeah, Caddyshack, which actually came out the same year as this, and Three Amigos. Like he's got some heavy hitters.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think in this film, he definitely is attractive. Like he's an attractive guy. I mean, and I guess the character. I don't know. Was the character likable? I don't even know. Like, what did we really know about him?
No, but he was sexually pervert. Like, he was, like, so many inappropriate jokes.
Yeah. So, I guess he was a bit of a creep.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give him a hot just because he physically, I'd go there.
Back then, in the time machine, not not now.
Yes, yes, not current day Chevy Chase. Sorry, Chevy.
If you're listening.
Brendan, hot or not?
Chevy Chase in this? Like, I feel like when he had the robe on, he had like a bit more of a like a member of a cult vibe. And I think he looked better there than he did in his like wet trench coat drinking his
cough syrup.
Cough syrup, yeah. So I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him. Pass.
All right. So Omar Sharif as Bart.
He was really mean. He was really mean to the dog, and he was very scary and a murderer. So he's getting a no.
Man, I agree. That mustache was too much.
It's kind of his deal, though.
I didn't hate the mustache. It was more like against the murder.
Yeah. yeah. I like just seeing anyone be that mean to a dog. I just can't deal with that. Yeah. So not. John Stride as Alistair Beckett. So he's the politician Omar Sharif killed for.
Who they were trying to paint as like a sort of a suave, like charming man that Jane might have been a bit into, I think. So I am interested to hear from you guys. Okay,
no, miscast. If that's the guy he was trying to be, he should have been like the guy, the white haired guy from Mad Men. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And he did have nice blue eyes, though. I thought his eyes were a bit dreamy.
Okay, well, you and his eyes could go on.
Yeah, he had that very Aryan look at that.
I could see him, like, maybe 10 years previous to this film, he would have been a definite hot. And now I'm looking at pictures of him when he was a bit younger, and he was a hot. But I feel like maybe he was just a bit beyond that at this point.
It's a no from me. Sorry.
Brendan?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to give him a hot, but I understand. I understand that you wouldn't. All right, let's finish this off with Jane Seymour as Jackie.
Oh, my God. They just, like, don't make women like this anymore. Like, what like on earth?
Hair that long? Or?
Oh, yeah. And just, like, all curly.
Beautiful
and
hair.
She was like
beautiful hair.
She was like a mermaid without a tail. Like, it was nuts, man. She's so pretty.
Yeah, she was.
I wish I had enough energy to make a Dr. Quinn pun. But yeah, she's beautiful, beautiful lady.
She's Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, bless you, Brendan.
I had no idea who this woman was.
The adolescent boy in there must have known somehow.
Wait, why? What's Dr. Quinn known for? I thought it was like a boring TV show. Was it like High Erotica or something?
Which is very hot, right?
Was
but
it?
Also, I mean, wasn't she? I don't know. I thought that might have been like an accessible way for a young boy to like see some cleavage. I don't know.
Isn't that the opposite of that era? Like they were like dressed like nuns and stuff? Like,
nah, man. She was not dressed as a nun. And neither was the guy that she used to fool around with. Long hair. Can we just say, though, I think Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman might be very bad taste now. Like, just thinking back.
I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't even remember what it's about, to be honest.
Yeah.
Why? It's like during like, it's like pilgrimage, isn't it? It's like.
Yeah, I just feel like there could be some stuff that's maybe not.
Of course, everything is like just like this film we just watched.
There's
terrible stuff everywhere.
But yeah, she was like genuine class, beautiful.
She deserves so much better. She should have been like a Bond girl.
And some of the outfits she wore, I loved as well.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to say so because I thought that. And I was like, I don't know what to say about them, but I was like, oh, there's like some very like, you know, cool outfits for that time.
And it's like, oh, okay. This film for killing her.
It fucking killed her, and made her a cat. So it didn't even make her a dog so that she could be with Chevy Chase, who is a dog anyway.
Cats are girls and dogs are boys.
You can't disprove that.
Girls and gays are cats.
How dare they do that to her?
Yeah, it seemed completely unnecessary for her to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and that whole like 10-minute sex scene between the cat and the dog at the end, I was like, why are we watching this?
I was gonna ask Lucy, because you've got pets. Like which one would you jump in front of a bullet for?
Oh
It is insane that she jumped in front of a bullet for a dog.
Yeah, my cats are a nightmare. I'm not gonna, like, they're very sweet, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I might just be looking the other way.
If they get offended by that, you can be like, I'm a mother now. Like, I can't be jumping in front of bullets for you. You're old enough to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on a sort of unrelated side note, do you remember in the In Memoriam at the Oscars, Jamie Lee Curtis had a dog, a puppy in her arms?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who adopted that puppy? Did you see who adopted the puppy?
Dr. Quinn.
No.
What? No.
John Travolta adopted the puppy.
Okay, so number one, I had no idea there was a dog in anyone's arms.
Yeah.
You didn't watch the In Memoriam?
I think my heart was still like, pumping,
pulsing.
Yeah, I think I like had hysterical blindness still at that stage because it was not far away from the thing. And, you know, like, bloody Paul, Bill Murray had done a whole thing about Ivan Reitman, yeah? Like, and I was just like, my ears were still ringing. Like, I just, I did not take in a single thing that happened. Was there a song? I don't remember the In Memoriam.
So in the Betty White section, they started singing, like, Thank You for Being My Friend.
Oh, my God.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis came out and she's like, Betty White loved animals, so the best thing you could do to honor her memory is adopt a little puppy like this one. And then apparently John Travolta took the dog and made it a Scientologist.
I was like, yay, oh no. He has to go and like work on that ship for eternity or whatever the fuck they have to do.
Oh, it's you. Higgins told me you were coming.
I know that voice.
It's me, dummy. Kitty, I'm a returnable too.
Freddy?
I'm afraid so.
You mean I can hear you think?
The Lord works in mysterious ways. But then doesn't everybody up there?
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Oh Heavenly Dog from across the interwebs. So, this one's from Spaghetti Noir on Letterboxd, who gives it 1.5 stars. And they say, Chevy Chase returns from the dead as a dog to make bad dick jokes, fuck Jane Seymour, and solve his own murder. This was made for kids and is currently part of the Disney library.
Oh, God.
So, wait, what is it rated even?
I think it's like PG in America.
The real, the poor kids. Yeah. Like, not even for the, like, you know, the questionable material. It's more the boredom. Like, do you imagine you get movie night and you're so pumped? Yeah. And then they put this shit on? That sucks.
It's funny, like, I've saw a lot of reviews of people saying, like, I watched this as a kid and loved it. What the fuck was wrong with me?
Yeah.
Professor Jub Jub on Letterboxd gave it 1 star, and they say, so interspecies dog fucking is cool when it's Chevy Chase?
I don't think it was that cool.
If you listeners, if you think it's cool, let us know. Check us an email.
What would like a cat baby be called? Like a liger? Cat, would it be a cog?
A cog. Wasn't there a show like cat dog? Cat dog. Show?
One Sunday with a wolf and a purr, a baby was born and it caused a little stir. Come on.
Maybe that was a sequel to this movie.
But don't you know, Paul? That was about a dog and cat that were concertinaed together and could stretch all the way around the world if they wanted to. Don't you remember?
I used to watch it, but I cannot remember one detail about it.
Oh, my God. I could do the whole theme song right now. And then, like, after it was Rocco's Modern Life would be on TV.
Yeah.
I would say Cat Dog was the, like, tipping point for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was good, but that song imprinted on my mind.
No blue bunny, no free art frog.
Thank you. Feline, canine, little cat dog. Yeah, okay. Now we're done.
So this one's finally, we've got one from Frederick Ali, who gives it no star rating, but they say, I'm not saying that everyone involved in making this movie took drugs, but I'm not surprised they made it in 1980.
Yeah.
But like, I
was there anyone who had a good thing to say about it?
No. I feel like whatever drug they were taking was one that like really slowed you down. Whatever that drug is.
Right, I thought like, Chevy was all about the cocaine and
if they were on cocaine, at least there'd be some taste energy.
Yeah, right.
Will you cut that out?
Sorry, didn't recognize the tail.
Smooth talker.
Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll start. My connection is Omar Sharif, who played the villain Bart. And I just wanted to remind people that this he is one of the greats, and he had a very illustrious career before he made this piece of shit. And I wanted to call out one of his best movies, which was the 1968 musical Funny Girl, starring Barbara Streisand. Have either of you guys seen this?
I have, yes.
I don't even know who this man is outside of this film. And apparently that is like a really, that's really
shameful
bad
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to discover his back catalogue, I would say, you know, yeah, obviously
this film
greats,
did not
like,
give me.
Please yeah. make Brendan in a tenuous episode watch Funny Girl.
What's Funny Girl? Oh, sorry, you were about to say.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I guess it's kind of got Mrs. Maisel vibes, which is something that Brendan loves because
yeah.
it's about, it's a period movie. Even at the time, it was a period movie. About a true life comedian, female comedian called Fanny Bryce, has very iconic songs in the movie. If you are a Glee fan, they did many of these songs. And there was a season where Rachel played the lead in Funny Girl on
Wait,
Broadway.
Is this a musical?
Yes.
This is okay. why I'm saying you got to make him watch it.
I already watched a musical, Paul.
One
I'm not
going to
make you watch it. It's fine. Yeah, it's a beautifully made movie. Very fun, enjoyable. Just a, it's just good. It's
yeah.
just good. Just watch
it's
it.
A classic. Yeah.
So yeah, Funny Girl starring Barbara Streisand. Give it a go. Lucy.
So I kind of like went on strike. I was like, this movie was so shit. It doesn't deserve me to pour through everyone's, you know, I'm just not doing it. So I went super root one and, you know, the first minute of the movie is that Wings song, Paul
Wings
McCartney.
Song.
Yeah. So I am doing,
Wings.
Yeah, the back catalog, baby. No, I am doing the, Beatles documentary that's just come out this year. Last year? This year?
Yeah.
Get Back. And I can't wait to make one of you watch a 6+ hour documentary, with all of which I have seen. Have either of you watched it? I don't know. I don't. You
either. No, the length put me off, to be honest.
Are either of you Beatles fans?
I really don't like the Beatles. Like whenever a song's on, I'm just like, ugh.
I like the Beatles, but I'm not obsessive about the Beatles. Like if a Beatles song is on, I like it, but yeah.
I would skip.
Like,
well, I feel bad for you, Brendan, because it means you don't like have love in your heart. You know, like arguably one of the greatest bands in the whole wide world, and this is like unearthed footage. You know that Paul hadn't even seen in
like on in- a whole. Like there are songs that I can. Get down with that. Lady Madonna, you know?
Okay, whatever, man. So
when we were young, we weren't allowed to listen to the Beatles in my house because
bigger than Jesus.
My dad was upset about that
because they were too sexy.
He actually had a vinyl of Let It Be, and when he found out about the bigger than Jesus thing, he lit it on fire.
Oh no, that would be probably worth money now. Anyway, so, I mean, this documentary is of that era. It's of that album, and it's kind of like the winding down of the Beatles. And, all this footage that, you know, just sort of sat unwatched for however long, and it was, like, painstakingly, like, lovingly restored. I think maybe Brendan could appreciate it for that
The technical prowess on restoring it, I've heard about, and just even the because they only had like this really fuzzy mono soundtrack on this footage because it was only, like shitty cameras, and they've managed to extrapolate every single element out of it and create a HD sounding surround sound.
Yeah, it's incredible. And like to look at it is amazing. And there's so many goosebump moments in it, you know, of them just, it's just like a bunch of friends just like goofing around and accidentally writing some of the greatest music. So that there is that. But then there's also the thing of obviously, you know, John Lennon and George Harrison aren't alive anymore. And there they are. And it's they're like in crisp HD. And, you know, you can hear their voices so beautifully. And they're just mucking around. Like Paul's doing a Scottish accent. He sings one of his songs in like the whole song in a Scottish accent. It just, I think for Ringo and Paul, it just would have been like a ghost or something. Like it would have been incredible for them. Like I got chills. Yeah, I really liked it. And, you know, if you've got a spare 6 hours, just pop it on. Cool. What's your recommendation, Brendan?
Yeah. What do you got for us, Brendan?
Okay. So the film I am going to be recommending is called Greener Grass. It's a sort of a horror comedy, I guess, about suburban soccer mum life. Do you know anything about this one, Paul? Have you?
I really want to watch it. It's by the makers of Pen 15, which is enough for me to really want to watch it. Wow. Yeah.
I saw the original short for it and found it hilarious. And so when I heard they were making the film, I was like, oh, sick. This film, very much like a weird sort of tone that is very unique, but I don't know if everyone will get into it, but I loved it. And it's basically about these soccer mums who are just trying to live suburban life, trying to keep up with each other. And, you know, their son turns into a dog and they just have to raise it as a dog. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on in this film.
You say the son turned into a dog?
Yeah, he fell into the pool and he came out as a dog.
Should we do this for the show then?
That's a boy swap.
It's so minor part of the film. That
Paul made us fucking watch Pretty Cool, and that was that swap didn't come in.
I would love to do this because like I said, it's a very interesting film to me, and I really got into it. But I wonder if it's one of those films where it's just not going to hit everyone sort of, you know, in the right spot.
Yeah, it could be another detention.
But yeah, does a really good job of making like just suburban life feel like a horror film. But also I found it, you know, ludicrously funny as well. So highly recommend it. I'm looking at the cast at the moment. I noticed that Jim Cummings is in it. So I didn't even know that.
I want to watch it. Yeah. Come on, Paul, please.
We're not watching it next episode, unfortunately. Cool. All right. So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Oh Heavenly Dog on our lists? So I've already stated it. This is going last on my list. This is your...
See, Paul, I felt the exact same way when I was watching
the Christmas Switch. You were?
but I think I must just be so wrapped up in the moment that a lot of films have gone to the bottom, such as Mama Boy, that don't deserve to be there.
Like Mama Boy, I would watch again 100 times before I watch this film.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to put it in between The Christmas Swap and Sam, so it's like all the way at the bottom, but it's not the worst.
I mean, I agree. Like, I'm glad it's towards the bottom. But looking at your bottom ones, Sam, Sex Trip, and Mama Boy, I would all watch before I watch this one.
I hated Sam so much, though. I hated it. It gave me, like, chills. Like, I can't. Like, if anyone ever made me watch that movie again, it would...
Poor Mel Brooks' son. So where's your final
ranking,
Brendan?
His life has just been so hard. I'm putting it between... Pretty Cool and A Christmas Train.
So, next episode, I thought we'd go something a bit topical, somebody that's been in the news a bit lately, and that's Bruce Willis. So, there's been the announcement that he is retiring. and unfortunately he's going through some medical problems, and because of that he hasn't been able to like read his scripts for a long time. So for the last few years all his performances have been being fed through an earpiece while he's filming his films.
Is that true? And he's, wow.
Yeah, and he's been filming like back to back straight to video movies just so he can make as much money as he can before he retired.
Yeah, I feel so very ways about this, but yeah, it is very sad. But
and it is sad. So I thought
this is that age swap one where his younger self comes back. Is that
No, that's the kid. I don't think that's a swap. I think the kid just comes back and he hangs out with him.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. So this is his 2009 sci-fi film.
Looper?
No. Surrogate.
Where I thought I would never have to watch this again.
I'm scared.
You've seen it already. I've never seen it. So in Surrogate, fuck, how am I going to... You threw me out.
Would you like me to give you the plot summary?
So this film stars Bruce Willis, where in a futuristic world where humans live in isolation and interact through surrogate robots, a cop is forced to leave his home for the first time in years in order to investigate the murders of other surrogates.
Mm.
So it's a cool premise.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, I ruin it a bit for you guys?
So it's got Rosamund Pike in it, who's having a bit of a moment at the moment. So
that's Gone Girl.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be interesting to revisit an earlier part of his career. And like the trailer definitely gave me like Exchange vibes, which I know we all had a bit of fun with. So surely it will be better paced than this piece of shit. So
that's for sure. That's like saying like, surely the sky will be blue tomorrow. Like,
all right. So, until then, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was your host, Brendan Levi.
What?
I'm the host now. Took it over. See you later.
Oh, no. Does that mean we're not doing Surrogates next week? All right. See you later.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.